I would say that for baptizing as a pastor, you haven't really been initiated until you do a cold one. And I've done several of those because we would borrow other people's churches and they would go, oh, we forgot to warm it up. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, and I think they did it on purpose. Because some of those pastors were my friend and they said it with a little smirk. Yeah. But it's always good to see people baptized, and I don't do re-baptisms very easily. But in this case with Justin, I think it was good. But it is good to be here today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And today is a little bit of a different day. It's a busy day, but it's a good day. Most of you probably have one of these lament pieces of paper. We usually don't have these kind of things that we pass out, but this Sunday we do. If you don't have one, you can just lift your hand up and one of the guys will give you one. If you don't have one, you want one, you can take it with you. Got one down here, Larry. And anybody else, got one over here as well. Just keep your hands all the way up and they will get you one, okay? So I want to share with you, if you don't have one, keep your hands up. I think we have plenty to hand out. This is something for you to do throughout the week. We are talking about lamenting. We've never done a lament service. This is what we're doing today. Lament is a time of prayer, a specific time amount of prayer. And our prayer time is going to be going from today through tonight, through Monday and Tuesday. And we're going to end on Wednesday night service on Wednesday night. That will conclude the time of lament. But the time of lament is when we take a time and we begin to pray for things that have spiritual purposes. It's a time when we begin to pray over things where we learn to trust God. And this time is when we during the time of lamenting, when you are praying through things that are breaking your heart, tough things in your life, this is a time where you can grow spiritually with God, and you grow through your sorrows, and you learn how to praise God. And so many people say, yeah, I could praise God when I'm broken. But until it happens to you, sometimes it is hard to praise God, but you have to work through it. And lamenting gives us an opportunity to do that. You don't have to be going through a hard time, but your heart can be in an area where it is a little bit tough and having a hard time. But with these papers, it's pretty self-explanatory. Basically, there is a reading piece here every day. There's a piece here on Sunday that you read in Acts. Monday, sometime Tuesday and Wednesday. And when you read that, you pray through that. And then you just write over to the side, what is the scripture speaking to me about? And you kind of work through that. And you can just see the things where it says, your lament, what are you praying for? What is the peace that you're lamenting over? And you can, if you have any questions after service, you can get a hold of me or talk to me. I'll be around for a while and we'll be working through that if you have any questions for that. Also, before I forget, there will be a wedding afterwards. We'll give you the time when that will start as well. The church is invited for that as well. So today we're going to be in the book of Psalms today, Psalms 13, and we are going to talk about lamenting today. And as you turn to Psalms 13, I want to share there's reasons why people pray when they're in sorrow and their hearts are broken. There are different reasons. Some people pray and they lament over a time when over sickness, a disease that someone has a disease, some type of illness that's really heavy, and that lays upon a person's heart. Also, a death of a spouse or a death of a child can get us into the place where we're broken and we're praying for that. A death of a family member when we're having a hard time with loss. A tragedy is another thing that we can lament to God and take our heart to God, and disaster as well. I don't know what it's like to live in a full disaster. If you lose everything, that can be really tough. War is another thing. This country has known war but we don't really know a lot of war here in our lifetime here on our land. But war also brings people to brokenness. Broken relationships is something that you may want to pray over if you got that in your life. Broken relationships. These are things, the things that I'm talking about are things you can't fix. You can't fix these things. Maybe you tried to fix these things, but in your own power, you can't fix them. And so we come to God and we lament over that and we pray to God about these things. And, you can't change anyone. Amen. You just can't change anyone. And people can't change you. And so, but sometimes it's not about changing others. It's about working through some broken things there. Family strife is another. When family strife hits, it hits the whole family, affects everyone. When a family member is living in sin and you know that they know better, that's also a tough one. Broken marriages, how do I start again? How do I start over? That's a tough one again. Is God going to forgive me for these things or whatever it may be? Rebellious children, no matter how old they are. Rebellious children, that's a tough one that we can be broken over as well. Our desires, we also can have desires, not just the things that are happening that are bad, but sometimes our hearts can break for things that we have a desire for. Because some people are single and they desire and they would love to have a spouse. A woman would love to have a husband, and a guy would love to have a wife. So there's a desire, like, how come I can't have one? There's a desire for children. People want to have babies. And so there's a desire, and lamenting is good for that. And then the desire just to hear from God. Come on now. How many of us just would love to hear God? I mean, it's not that he's quiet. It's just sometimes we know those moments where God just spoken so heavy in our lives. We're like, Lord, I want to go. I want to feel that again. So one of the things I've heard is some statements that people have made, and maybe you've made them as well. Is God even hearing my prayers? Yeah. Why is it taking so long? Why did this happen? Where is God? If God would only just do something, God, why can I not feel God? Why am I not hearing God? And we work through that, and sometimes one of the biggest ones is, has God forgotten me? Does he know my address? I don't even know if God knows where I'm at. Father, Lord, as we get right into this message this morning, may your Spirit have free reign upon each and every one of us, those who believe and those who don't. May your will be done. We ask for a blessing on these words today, and may they pierce our hearts, mine as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this psalm that David is writing today, and it's a lamenting piece, and it's a very strong piece. David is very passionate when he writes. David is very open. He writes his the psalms that he's written is from the heart. It is from the Spirit, and God has spoken through him to write these beautiful psalms. And sometimes we wonder, how in the world can someone go through so much brokenness and write so many psalms as this man has? Well, the thing is, he's human. He's human, and he loves God, but he's also part of the world, and some of his struggles were his own fault, but some of the struggles were just things that happened around him, and some of his struggles were from his family members, his own children. And so in this also being king, a king of the land of Israel and Judah, all that, and just, it was just so tough, but he would always plead his cases, and his thoughts, and his desires to God, as we should. And so we see here in Psalms chapter 13, there are six verses here today. I want to work through these. We're going to work through first verse 1 and 2. Here we go. How long, Lord, will you forget? How long, Lord, will you forget? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemy dominate me? Here we find out in these scriptures that four times David says this, how long? That's what we ask. We always ask God, how long is it going to be? How long is it going to be? And sometimes we don't have the answer, do we? Sometimes we don't have the answer, but here we do have an answer in some sense. We have an answer. We have an answer on how we can do the journey, but we may not have an answer on the time or the end result, but in a way we do. Because here I know this, today I'm not walking life by myself, I'm walking my life with God. And if you have Christ in your life, you're walking with God as well, with Christ, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit indwells inside of you. So you're not alone, amen? You don't have to do this stuff alone. But here it is. He says this. How long? His first one is, how long will you forget me? Now, sometimes we'll say things to God and we know that that's not really what we mean, but our heart comes out and we just say things in the flesh. God gets that, but Isaiah 49:15 gives us a piece of anchor there. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? But even if they forget, God says, yet I will not forget you. So God is there. God is not forgetting us. Amen? We know, even though we feel like it, your feelings, you have to be careful. Your emotions will try to triumph over everything. You have to control them. And emotions are a good thing. God gives them to us. But we need to remember that our emotions can say, man, where is God? He forgets me. I don't even know where he is. But I know this. My spirit knows because of God's word says he is there. He is there. He has not forgotten me. But the writer even goes on and says, how long will you hide your face from me? Basically, how long are you hiding from me, Lord? Because I can't see you. How long? But Deuteronomy 31:8 also tells us and gives us instructions. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. God has given us great encouragement there that he will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always there. And you know what? You can say that because you can say, I don't feel him today. I maybe feel like he's hiding from me or he's forgotten me. But I know this. God's word says something completely different. And this is why you see women and men and of God doing and working. Like, how are they working through the problem that they have in front of them? I know they're broken, but how are they going one step in front of another step and going forward? Because they're not relying on their emotions. They're not relying on their feelings. They're relying on the Word of God. Come on now. We in the house of God today or not, right? So I know this. I've been through this several times before. I've questioned God a few times here and there. But then he goes, how long? He says, pretty much, how long am I going to be discouraged? How long am I going to feel discouraged? It's tough. Christians feel discouraged about things. I've been praying about something. I've been working through something. I just can't feel it. I don't feel God in what I'm doing. I don't understand it. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. But here we know, that how long am I going to feel discouraged? But here, if we go back to the Word of God, we can work through that. But no, so many of us are going in other places. We're doing other things. We're seeking advice from other places and people that are not walking with the Lord. But Psalms 34 says this, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Did you hear that? The righteous cry out. Those who are Christ-like, the believers, they cry out and the Lord hears. He hears and he rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. Did you know the people walking around that are broken and crushed in their spirit and just brokenness, they don't have to be that way? But even if they are that way, you don't have to do it alone. It's okay. There's going to be times when you're going to be broken. You lose a loved one, it breaks your heart. You're going to lose people in your life. You've known them all your life. You're going to lose people. Things are going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. Not just bad things happen to bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good, godly people. But we need to know that we don't have to do that on our own. We don't have to walk through it on our own. But that we can walk with God through it. And he's walking with us. But he also says this, how long will my enemy dominate me? And we always think that that's a warrior mentality of enemy, but our enemy can be a lot of things. You ever have somebody gossip about you a lot? Say things that aren't true? Maybe family members keep butchering you and you're like, you love your family, but they just keep butchering you down. Sometimes our enemies are those whom we love. They're doing the things. We love them, but we don't like what they're doing. And they do some pretty harsh things sometimes, and our friends as well. So how long, he says, must I be discouraged? How long must I must be discouraged? And 2 Chronicles tells us this. There was a time when a king was really battling, an enemy was coming. It was much bigger than him. And it says this, he says, and he said, listen carefully, as the prophet says, listen carefully, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and the king Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we wear ourselves out because we're fighting something we're not ever going to win. Because we don't have the power to fix it. We don't have the power to change it. We don't have the power to heal it. We don't have the power to do any of it. But we know the one who does, and that is God. So why are we as Christians struggling so much? And the sense of it is, the struggle is not the bad part of it, is, but we struggle for so long. And we need to learn how to work through those things and give those things to God, because the battle is not yours. And then you try to fight it in your own power, you will not make it. Most likely you will not make it. You need to lean on the power of the Lord. And that's where God wants you anyway, right? He wants you in front of Him, bringing those things to Him, bringing those things. Because when your heart is broken, God feels those things. He understands what you're going through. And He wants you to find your way through it. But He wants you to find your way through it with Him. Not down at the bar, but with Him. Not down at the bar, but with Him. Wow. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. It comes with a lot of problems. It comes with a lot of heartache. It comes with a lot of problems. But when we have God in our life and we let God be God in our life, things begin to change and things begin to work. And when things, we hit bumps in life with God, it just makes it so much easier. It doesn't take it always away, but it makes it so much easier. You see, a difference between a believer and a non-believer is when a believer prays out, when a believer is walking with the Lord and they pray, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means that a person who's praying and walking with the Lord, that person's prayers are very, very powerful. A person who is not a believer or even a weak believer, their prayers, I'll say it this way, God's not hearing those. God knows people, God hears everything, but He's not going to answer those. But a believer who's walking, who walked away from God, those prayers are about as weak as they can get, because basically God is saying, I'm not hearing you. I know you. I know your name, but I'm not hearing you because you're doing your own thing. You have gone so far away that God is wanting to bring you back. And that's what He wants to hear from you, that I need to come back. I need to come home. And so what we see this piece here, that the whole thing about it is that you have a walk with God and you're living your life for God. I'm telling you, your prayers are powerful. They can move mountains. The Bible says they can just move mountains. Things can change. But I'm telling you also, there's an enemy that we face, and that is Satan. He's always trying to destroy families, always trying to destroy marriages, always trying to get in the midst of all the things that are good. So keep going forward. Know Scripture. Memorize some Scripture. Push forward. And in this time of lamenting and your heart is breaking, you just pour it out. You spend time, whatever that piece is, whatever it is, you can put it on that piece of paper. Maybe you say, I don't even have to put it on the piece of paper. It's etched in stone in my heart until I see that moment, until I see that answered prayer. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep on praying for those things and through those things so that we can see God move. Listen, sometimes we don't have a testimony because we're not praying. Sometimes we don't have a fresh testimony because we're not letting God be God. And so here we find out that now he moves to the next verse here in verse 3 and 4. He says, consider me and answer, Lord my God. And so he states that he knows I have this thing going on, but he says he's still calling God his God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. There's a call out to, Lord, remember me. Know me. Remember me. Now listen, we know in spirit that is true. We know God remembers us. We should know that biblically. But there's a part of us that just needs to hear God. We need to see God move. It's okay to say, God, I need to see you move. I just want to see you move. I want the blessing of knowing that I just need that today. Or I need that this week. Will you be a part? Will you do something that I can see? Maybe it's just you and me, but I can see you move in my life this week. I just need to see something. Would you just give me that? It does happen. I know you're here. I know that you got everything, but I just need to, basically, it's like a little kid that just says, I need to see my dad hold my hand for a minute. I just need to feel the touch of God. And you know what? That's okay. Basically, what you're saying is, I just want to get closer. I need to draw toward Him. Yeah. And he says, here I am. I'm here, Lord. Remember me. Answer my prayers. Lord, here's my prayer. Here's my peace. This is the peace that's been tearing me up. This is the peace. I, I know I'm praying for it. I've been praying for it for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Here it is. I'm getting frustrated, but I'm going to keep my walk with you. I'm going to do that, but I just need you to hear me. And I'm getting weak in some places. And God knows that. But the scripture says, he says, restore me. Restore me. Sometimes we want to take advantage, and we want to take it in the flesh, and we want to do step 2, 3, and 4, and we want to move real quick because we want that answer. We want that quick fix. And so we kind of mess around a little bit. We slipped up a little bit. We're like, Lord, restore me. Restore me. I don't like these doubts I have. I don't like this. I don't like this not understanding things. I don't like this. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like you've abandoned me. But he also says, strengthen me, strengthen me. So strengthen me, Lord, strengthen me so that I can be strong and rescue me from it. Listen, some of you are carrying things you've been carrying for a long time, something in your heart. I know what I'm going to be limited. I know what I'm praying for this week. I know what I'm going to pray for this week. I got it. Me and the Lord are going to wrestle it out. He's going to win, but we're going to wrestle a bit. Yeah, he wins every time. I'm going to wrestle a little bit because I know he's real. I'm real, just as real. I'm standing right here. But I know he's more real than I am. And I'm going to wrestle with him because I know the men and women in the Bible have went to him and pleaded their case and pleaded their causes and pleaded their prayer requests. And I know they wrestle with it. And here's what I know is when you go to God, he's going to speak back. He's going to share. He's going to move. And sometimes we do get into a place where we're looking for the victory. But sometimes we just need a win. There's a difference between a win and a victory. We just need a win. And that's like, I just need you to bump up against me. Lord, I just need to speak through the words. Show me something. Just give me a win. Give me victory over this thing. Give me victory over it so I can go out and I can raise my voice and say how awesome that you are. As he moves into verse 5, he says this, but I have trusted in your faithful love. This is the difference between a believer and a non-believer. A believer who is walking with God and a believer who has walked and stepped aside from God. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Here he says this, I know I may be going through a tough season in my life. I may be going through some heartache in my life. I may be going through some things in my life. And nobody else may know. So this thing may be personal to me. But I also know I may be going through this thing and my family's not talking to me. Or my wife, whatever it is, I just feel like it's just a tough season for me in my life. But this writer says, but my hope is in Jesus. What he says, I have trusted in your faithful love. He says, I, no matter what I'm going through, what season I'm in, I'm going to be trusting in God. Let me tell you, don't trust yourself. Man, you will con yourself. You will lie to yourself. You can even trick yourself and fool yourself. And you know what? You'll believe it. You'll believe it because you think you got the answers. You think that your plan works. You think your ideas are better than everyone else's. And you think you've got the answer to the question. Just let me tell you something. Don't trust yourself. Peter said, I won't deny you. Jesus said, yeah. Yeah, you will. No, I'll go down. I'll go down to the fighting edge. I'll go down and I'll fight. Jesus, no, you won't. You're going to deny me 3 times, buddy. We've ate together. We prayed together. We've done ministry together. You've seen me heal. All those things Jesus did. Peter was right there. And he says, I'm going to be there to the end and I'll fight to the death. And Jesus says, no, you won't. You know what he was doing? He was trusting in his own words. He was trusting in himself. But the writer here says, no. No matter what season he's in, and this season here is rough for David, he says, because he's wondering to know, where are you at, God? But in the end he says, I put my hope in Jesus. I will trust in the Lord. My eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll see an answer. It may not be today, but you've got to keep going on. It may not be today, but the believer says it's coming. Now, that's not false prophecy. There's people that do false prophet pieces. But listen, when your heart has been broken, a lot of people do that. Oh, yeah, if you just claim it and you name it and you claim it. Now, listen, there's no brokenness in that. That's just greed. But when you say, man, I really want my spouse, my husband to come to Jesus, man, it's breaking my heart. I really want my uncle to come to Christ, it's breaking my heart. Or I really want my family strife to end. I really want someone to get their life back right with Christ where it needs to be. And when you start feeling brokenness over that, you start feeling pain over that, and it tears your heart apart. Let me tell you, you start praying to God and you say, Lord, I know you're going to come to a place with this. I know I'm giving it to you. This is your battle. I know that all what's going on, I don't get it. It looks like it's never going to be fixed, but I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to lay this down. So the Bible says, cast all your anxieties before him because he cares for you. I'm going to follow what the word says. I'm going to give it to you. I have a hard time, but I'm still holding on to it, Lord. I can't help it because it's broken. It breaks me, but I know this. This is part of me too. So it's okay to hang on to it because it's your prayer. It's you. It's your life. It's what's breaking you. You lay it out there for him. And I'm telling you, he'll be a part of that process. When you open your whole self up and you lay yourself and you become vulnerable before God and you open yourself up, he'll be a part of that. Yeah. He says, I'm going to praise you in the moment. That means it's not about the situation. It's in the moment. I'm going to pray and praise God in the moment. I'm going to learn to praise God in the heartbreak. Yeah. Learn to praise God in the heartbreak. Did you ever praise God in discouragement? Yes. You got to praise God in discouragement. You need to learn how to praise God in the waiting. Woo, the waiting. I'm not talking about procrastination. God is not procrastinating. Now, some of y'all know what procrastination is. But God is not procrastinating. But to praise God in the waiting. Wow, what a... And then you praise God in the victory and in the wins. And I will tell you this. Sometimes it's true. The longer you wait, the bigger the testimony is. The bigger the problem is, and God makes a way through it. You get to the place where you can't help but to say, man, that was only by God that this was fixed. You could have prayed one time and God could have done it. But sometimes God waits, and he waits. He waits for the right time. And when that right time comes, his name is truly exalted. There's more things going on in your issue and your thing that you're praying for than you can ever imagine. There are more angles of looking at it than just your angle. And sometimes God wants you to figure that out and take you on a journey to look and see what that looks like. David says, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns? Which means he's basically, how long am I going to be stressed out? How long will my enemy dominate me? Basically, how long am I going to hold this? But I love Scripture because it never ends there. It ends with this. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me good. And you don't get that until you go through the journey of brokenness. Huh. On that lament form that you have, it does say something there that says, what did these scriptures speak to you about? Speaking to you, basically, it's what is the Holy Spirit sharing with you on what these scriptures mean. Today, we just went through this section of what it would mean. What does this mean to you? What does it mean to you? What was able? What were you able to relate with? What was the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What was the thing that was popping out to you? Like that, I have something. I have something that's breaking my heart. I have something that's heavy on my heart. I have something that I want to see happen in my life. Well, you get 3 or 4 days to do that. And if you don't expect God to do something, you've already lost in your time of lament. I'm going into this expecting God to move. I'm going in this to expect God to break me somewhere. I don't like that. That's why these are tough. I expect God to say some things that I might not like. I'm expecting God to work through this week, through these other scriptures, through this week. Because listen, if you have a loved one in your family member that doesn't know Jesus, this is an opportunity right here. This is a golden gate opportunity for you to say, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to break me for the salvation of my mom or my dad or my parents, or the brokenness of relationship, or someone that needs to come back to Christ, whatever it may be. God sees that. So this week we're going to be on a journey. I'm praying that you're going to spend time. You say, well, I don't reread these scriptures. I promise you, if you read these scriptures this week and you spend some time with God, there's going to be some change in your walk. There's going to be some change. You're going to grow. And you're going to praise God in the end. You're going to praise God and you're going to grow in this. And Father, Lord, I ask this morning, as your Spirit, Lord, speaks in these words that are so amazing, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just move upon us in a way that you can do. May your will be done upon each person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.